Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that most statistics for commercial and social research are tested for accuracy at a 95% confidence level? As specialists in the field, we do tests between 90 and 99% confidence levels. This is not to be confused with our name. Plus 94 is a celebration of the miracle post 94 in South Africa. We can still test the accuracy of your data at 94%. It is in our name to give you the confidence you need. Plus 94 Research. The science of decision making.
A very good morning to you and a very warm welcome to this week installment of Beyond Governance here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Sembele. As always, I am delighted to share this space and time with you as we continue to share spotlight on remarkable achievements by South Africans who have really put this country on a global map through their unwavering, selfless deeds that continue to ignite human spirit. You know, that spirit of Ubuntu, which has been threatened by greed and opulence, which has been displayed by some of the so-called leaders. In today's conversation, I'll be joined by Dr. Teddy Bletcher, who is the CEO of Maharishi Invisibility Institute and the chairperson of South African National Government Team of Entrepreneurs, Education and Employability, just among few accolades that has been bestowed on him. Teddy is a pioneer of a free tertiary institution movement in South Africa. He helped to create several institutes of higher learning. We'll hear more about how he established or supported or co-created these institutions to try and create access to a quality education to majority of South Africans who do not have the kinds of resources that puts them in your traditional or well-established institutions. As Nelson Mandela once said, education is the powerful weapon that can change the world. Definitely, this is what Teddy is doing in this juncture. If you miss any of our show, not to worry, simply visit our website, which is www.highfm.com. Download the podcast, and most importantly, let us know what you think. Your views are most welcome via our social handles. Our SMS is 34519. The Telegram is 061-895-1095. And your thoughts and views are most welcome via my ex handle, which is Dr. Mbele. It is customary in the show to express one's gratitude before we commence with our exciting conversation. On that note, I want to thank Craig Guthrie, who's a controller here at Sileke, the producer of the show. Gentlemen, once again, thank you very much for your sterling work as you continue to navigate this beautiful show to the delight of the listeners. Before we get into the gist of our conversation, I would like to weigh in and express my heartfelt condolences to the family of the late Dr. Semu Zwinyane. We all know his contribution and in finding several businesses and associations, key among those being the African National Federated Chamber of Commerce, NAFCOC. And we should celebrate, in my view, his life. We need to heed his legacy of unwavering commitment to integrity, compassion, and inclusivity. This is what we really need to be doing as South Africans. We need to focus on what works and try and remedy which that does not work, and that makes us look awful in the face of the global community. Having said that, we'll move very swiftly. Let me take this opportunity to welcome yet another global icon that has graced this particular show. Teddy, who is the CEO of Maharishi Invisible Institute. My good sir, thank you very much for coming through. It is an absolute honor. Thank you for your time.
Oh, Nimrod, thank you so much. Or should I say, Dr. Mbele, it's a true honor to be on the show with you, and thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much, Daddy. We're the one who quite grateful for your time, given your very hectic schedule. Without any waste of time, you know, you are obviously a in business of solving a problems in a particular education space. What is your overall mischief of education in this country?
Thank you, Nimrod. I never knew the word when I was growing up, social entrepreneur. But later on, I found out that's what I do, is to be a social entrepreneur. And so social entrepreneurs really are focused on seeing problems and focusing on the solutions. And I love that that's the approach you take as well. You spoke about the spirit of Ubuntu, and you come with a very positive message. And that's really, I think, very simplistically, before I get into the details, that's really what we're doing. There's a quote by Martin Luther King that I absolutely, deeply, profoundly love, where he says that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hatred cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And very much I get the sense that you, through your show and what you do, are focused on bringing in that light and bringing in that connectivity between all South Africans. And so the specifics of the work that I've worked on is really, you know, to bring that light, because to sit around and focus on the darkness is honestly, quite frankly, a waste of time. And the beautiful gift of nature is that if you bring light, then darkness disappears. It's just very simple. You can even light a small light. It already starts to have a huge impact on darkness. And so I set out to help create a free tertiary education movement in South Africa. At the time when we were starting to research this, like 1995 was, you know, just after Nelson Mandela came into power and we had a new democratic South Africa. But when you actually looked at education statistics, then you saw really the devastation of apartheid and the Bantu education system. And at that time, I mean, I'm a qualified actuary. There was 1,000 actuaries in the country. There was only one black South African actuary. There was only 5 black airline pilots for the whole of South Africa. There was 47 black dentists for a population of like 50 million people. So it didn't matter which career you looked in, you saw the devastation of apartheid. So that was the first thing, was that after working in Alex Township for 4.5 years every day, got this idea to start the first free higher education institution in the country. Of course, we had to start it with nothing. We never got any funding from government, and our students have never paid more than 200 rand a month. We just feel that quality higher education is a human right, and it's not just a human right. It is absolutely fundamentally important, you know, to build the economy of South Africa and to actually build a tax base, which in turn can educate more youth. And so it's like an engine that has to keep turning. And if the engine is stuck, we'll never achieve the success that we want. So I think in conclusion, we have created several free higher education institutions, post-secondary institutions. The Maurice Jean Vincible Institute is, you know, certainly my main focus, on a day-to-day basis. And we are now in 13 locations across 5 countries. But Johannesburg city center is our main focus now, where we're working to build what we're calling Education Town. Yeah, and we're seeing incredible results. And also, I do help lead a national initiative with the Department of Basic Education. And we've also interacted ourselves through that. I think I saw you at the National Education Lekgotla. I know you've done work with NECT, et cetera. So we can talk more about that as well, the E-Cubed initiative.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Teddy, for that interesting synopsis of how you evolve as a social entrepreneur. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a second.
Beyond Governance, Making Sense of Doing Business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. I am joined by Teddy Blecher, who is a pioneer of free tertiary education movement in South Africa. Before we took that break, he was giving us an overview of what he considers to be a mischief in education space. As a social entrepreneur, he obviously wants to make a difference by looking at issues of education in higher education in higher education sector. It's quite interesting. What really motivated you to become this social entrepreneur of global stature? Based on what you just said, when you in 1995, there was like very literally one actual scientist in the whole of South Africa. You can literally count the number of pilots and so on and so forth. But we have moved. There's been a significant improvement since then. As we proceed, Teddy, you touched on a very important point around education being a human rights issue, because if we educate a significant number of people, they're able to make a contribution towards the fiscus, because if they make a contribution towards the fiscus, we're able to educate more and more. And if you educate more and more people, we would obviously, become a better society, because through education, we are able to address a number of social problems. You have partnered with several organizations and private sector, so on and so forth. Take us through, because it takes a village, to raise a child. In this particular instance, you have been linked with a number of villagers to support and help an African child. Take us through the thinking behind those villagers that you have partnered with, the likes of Anglo-American and so on and so forth.
No, thank you so much. And Nimrod, we're blessed in this country, I really believe, by a corporate sector that is absolutely committed to making a better South Africa. And, I sometimes say, because sometimes one can get, to look at the way government works in this country and not understand certain of the decisions, although there are a number of, in my views, good frameworks that government has developed, like the Black Economic Empowerment legislation. If it is used right, if it's used wrongly, which it has been done a lot, then it is a total flagrant waste of money and resources and chasing of points just so that people can win business. But if it's used correctly, then corporates see the role of all South Africans in actually helping their businesses grow and are making a more inclusive economy. It it absolutely is better for those corporates and it's better for everybody. And so the opportunities in South Africa, I think, to leverage the legislation to do good, to bring young, particularly Black kids, millions of whom are unemployed, into the economy, is both a driving passion for me. It's also something, that I feel as a human being, as a social entrepreneur, as a passionate South African, an immense drive and commitment to prove to South Africans and the world that there is genius and brilliance and beauty in our kids, whether they're in the townships or the informal settlements. They have just as much potential as anybody else. And when we embrace everybody to come into this economy, this is why America is such a big economy, because there's so few people who are unemployed and this big economic machine is just turning all the time. And so that's what we set out to do. And we couldn't do it without the likes of Anglo-American, who've donated us two massive buildings. And the latter one was their biggest head office building, which is 45 Main Street. It's a famous, iconic, probably one of the top 10 iconic buildings in South Africa, built by Sir Ernest Oppenheimer. These were the early days of the Johannesburg economy when gold was found. And literally the entire economy of Joburg built around this. And at one point, Anglo was 40% of the stock market capitalization by value was just Anglo-American. And just to see the role that they've played in looking after communities has been unbelievable. And Anglo actually turned down several offers of over 100 million rand to buy that building, rather to give it to us for like a perpetual legacy for the youth of our city. And that is an immense vision. I mean, it's unbelievable that a major corporate, where in the world would that happen? That a major corporate could do something like that. And in fact, and in Anglo's case, they didn't do it for BE points. In fact, they did it for no kinds of, ulterior motives other than wanting to change the future for youth in our city. And so for me, this is one of the greatest companies in the world. Obviously, Anglo now is under this threat or bid from BHP Billiton. We'll see what happens there. But then other amazing companies in South Africa, Absa Bank, we run a cybersecurity program with Absa. We've had 100% job placement up until now into Absa. Incredible jobs bringing young, particularly black women, into this field. Very technical, very complex, very expert field called cybersecurity. Absolutely mission critical. And the success that we've had working with Absa to do that, kind of salaries these individuals earn on going into work. It's unbelievable. Bright Insurance, another incredible corporate partner of ours. Bright have committed to take 1,000 of our graduates in the insurance sector. Already we've placed, over 200 of our graduates there. But in this kind of way, working with corporate South Africa as well as individuals and then global foundations that are passionate about changing this country and changing the narrative and changing the future. We've been able to put we've educated 23,665 unemployed youth. We've placed 21,000 of them into high quality jobs. They earn well over 2 billion rand a year. And we estimate they'll earn over 60 billion in their working careers. So rather than being unemployed, 60 billion rand will go back into the hands of families that need this money, and they will use that money in the economy to buy goods and services from the companies that have in turn helped us to achieve this. And our goal is ultimately to put at least 1 trillion rand back into the hands of marginalized families. And again, that 1 trillion rand will go back in expenditure in the South African economy, making it good for everybody.
Well, that's quite an incredible achievement indeed, Terry, and the kind of partners that you have amassed in your career as a social entrepreneur and a passionate South African really signal that light that we've spoken about. That if we all put our hands together in the companies such as Anglo American and APSA and so on and so forth, we are likely to make a huge difference in the country. We can only applaud you, but taking this kind of a philosophy forward, because in this country we have noted that we have companies and individuals that really makes a difference. But we're not collaborating or networking sufficiently to create more of a social movement that makes a difference. How do we get, what could be the advice to South African businesses that can partner and to try and create a wave? Because if every one of us contributes towards something, it makes a difference, particularly in a space where youth unemployment is such a big albatross that is sitting around our necks. And how do we move away from this compliance-driven type of investment, as if it's like, let me just donate this computers and let me just donate stuff which don't necessarily contribute towards the bigger picture? What's your thoughts and advice for businesses so that we're able to massify the kind of investments that is made in education that creates this kind of institutes that you are currently involved in?
Well, thanks a lot. So Nimrod, I'll answer this question in two parts. The first one is a wonderful example of something that I'm very involved with and our organization, the Mauritian Visibility Institute, called Josie My Josie. So Josie My Josie was created by Anglo American And then working together with Nando's, who are still based on the in Victoria Yards on the east side of the city, together with Fitz University, ABSA, Standard Bank, FNB, and others. So it's a consortium of organizations that are passionate about the inner city CBD. We know that many, many of the big businesses over the years have left the CBD, and basically the city has moved to Sandton and now increasingly to Rosebank, Midrand, et cetera, Woodmead, and so on. But the Joburg CBD used to be 40% of the South African economy, and it was the biggest economic hub for the whole of Africa. And it still plays an immensely important role in South Africa and in Africa. So firstly, it is the place that about 4 million people commute per day to go from communities, townships, settlements, etc., to get to jobs. Really, I think between the south and the north every day. So it's incredibly important as a transport commuting hub. But it's also still a massive trading hub where people come from Zimbabwe, Mauritius, Malawi, Zambia, everywhere to come and buy goods and services in Joburg and then take those up to their countries. What is absolutely incredible to see is that this group of companies and even competitors like Standard Bank working with ABSA, working with FNB, are coming together to say enough is enough. We're not going to wait for government. We'll collaborate with government. And as much as government wants to help us, that will be fantastic. But we, the people of South Africa, are going to take the future of our city into our own hands, and we're going to build a great city, a world-class city that is going to serve these millions of commuters per day. And to do that, we need to, for example, create safety, because crime destroys entrepreneurship, it creates fear, it stops people from coming to live in the city, etc. So, for example, one of the initiatives that we're starting, and there's already a network of each of these corporates have created something called The Firm to bring safety and security back to the inner city. And we're launching on the 13th of May, it begins something called the Security Mastery Academy, the SMA, where we're going to start with 150 students. It will grow to 1,000 students. We're partnering with CAP Security, one of the leading security agencies in Joburg. And we're going to train absolute ninjas who are going to be making the streets of Joburg CBD safe. And it's like when they turned around New York, you have to have visible policing. You have to have safety on the streets. You've got to fix the broken windows. You've got to change the street lights. So, for example, we've already put from the Nelson Mandela Bridge all the way through to the Westgate taxi rank, the whole of right through town, we've put solar street lights. That means that even when there's load shedding, and that's when a lot of crime happens in the dark, that people can see. And it's now lit up like a Christmas tree at night with solar street lights, independent of what's happening with Eskom or City Power. And so these are the initiatives that this consortium are working on. We're working on a gateway project to bring safety in and out of the city. So when you come on any of the highway on-ramps or off-ramps, Selby, Rissik Street, Harrow Road, Joe Slovo, wherever it is, Nelson Mandela Bridge, Queen Elizabeth Bridge, there will be 24/7 security. It will be clean. It will be beautiful. It will be inspiring. And so this is when you ask that question of how can we work together to massify things. Josie My Josie is an incredible example, and maybe you'll want to do a show at some time just on Josie My Josie, where competitors can come together. We're working with Dr. Ali Bacha, the great South African cricket hero. Standard Bank are going to give us some land just in front of Standard Bank's buildings there. And we're going to create the first soccer field ever in the history of the Joburg CBD in over 100 years. We're going to call it the Joburg Field of Dreams. You'll see it from the highway. We're going to have massive signs. Creating soccer, volleyball, basketball, netball. We're even going to put paddle courts into the city of Joburg. And we want to create a place that people want to live, where they want to come to school, etc. And so from the Marishi Invincible Institute side, we're working to create what we're calling Education Town. So we don't think big business is necessarily going to come back. But if we could get, we want to grow our own institution to 10,000, 15,000 students minimum every day on the streets of Joburg, bringing that light. But we want to crowd in other education institutions and your alma mater, mine as well, Wits University, where you got your PhD and your master's degree. Wits are now going to come into the city, the business school. They're going to create an incubator for entrepreneurship right next door to us in one of the Anglo buildings. So I can tell you, Nimrod, 2, 3, 4 years time, Joburg CBD will be the safest place in this country. There will be so much development happening there that you will not imagine that it's the same city. And that's going to come through a group of organizations saying, you know, we may be in some ways a failed state, but we're not a failed society. We are a society of passionate businesses, civil society, and we can take this country forward for all, no matter what.
Wow, that's incredible, incredible work that you've really shared with us, which I think has really demystified the kind of mayhem work you have seen in the CBD. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second to dig more and more on these incredible initiatives that you and the likes of yourself have partnered with to try and make, Johannesburg a better place to be. We'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making. Did you know that most statistics for commercial and social research are tested for accuracy at a 95% confidence level? As specialists in the field, we do tests between 90 and 99% confidence levels. This is not to be confused with our name. Plus 94 is a celebration of the miracle post 94 in South Africa. We can still test the accuracy of your data at 94%. It is in our name to give you the confidence you need. Plus 94 Research. The science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Tembele. I'm having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Teddy Fletcher, who is a pioneer of free education in South Africa. Before we took that break, we really got insights on some of the amazing initiatives that Teddy is spearheading. He spoke about the, you know, the Josie Majosi initiative that brings along not just entrepreneurs, but competitors. I mean, you know, your banks of this world, the institutional high lending of this world are coming together, for they have realized that Johannesburg is a very massive place to be at. I mean, the trading community, over 40 million people commute daily to Johannesburg to trade. And, you know, that kind of infrastructure and environment, it's quite useful to try and rebuild the economy, as it were. And one of the issues that Teddy raised, which naturally comes through, because every investment in any environment, you have to look at safety. Johannesburg has become, not only Johannesburg, CBD, South Africa has become a crime state. It is just shocking, because as you correctly pointed out, Teddy, if you are an entrepreneur and somebody take your money and take your life, so some of the initiative that you have put together under the auspices of Josie Majosi, you're creating, you're training, you call them ninjas of safety wardens, so to speak. In other discourse, they call safety wardens, to try and really bring crime down. And I actually liked the point that you liked in, Joburg CBD with New York. New York at some point, it was terrible, and they've turned it around by looking at small things such as solar lights that in your particular instance, fixing windows, bringing in businesses, bringing in institutes of higher learning, and your parting point was that we might be defined as a failed state but not a failed society, and these are some of the things that can emulate and be used to massify or to change the perspective of South Africa. And it is this kind of show, in my mind, that needs to be aired as frequently as possible so that we're able to change the mindset. I'm completely blown over by some of the examples that you put forward that convinces me and anybody else who thought CBD was a hellhole that was beyond redemption.
Yeah, no, it's going to fundamentally shift. We are already seeing a shift. And by the time people wake up, you know, in a few years' time, this genuinely, it will be the safest place in South Africa. And as we see more and more and more students coming into the city, as we build this education town, you know, with beautiful sports facilities, building after building filled with young people learning precious and scarce skills to get great jobs, to build, new businesses in the tech sector. You know, there's so much, South Africa, you spoke about unemployment and job shortages, but the truth is there are so many opportunities. We don't have to only think about our economy. I mean, you spoke about the internet, that we can run a show like this just online. So, I mean, we're working on some very exciting initiatives now, bringing digital work from the UK and Europe. That will be great hard currency coming into our country. Who will be doing that work? Formerly unemployed youth. We'll be doing it of just as good a quality as, anyone in the UK would be doing it, and at an absolute fraction of the price. There's so many opportunities where we can actually create jobs for South Africans. Where we are creative and where we focus on real needs, etc., we call it demand-driven education, where we work with large employers upfront, the likes of a Bright or ABSA or IBM, etc., and we look at, okay, these are the skills that are needed. This is if we were to develop young people with those kind of competencies to become the best of the best in those fields, they will get jobs. And, we are very, very proud to say that for, nearly 20 years in a country with the highest youth unemployment in the world, we've had a 95% job placement rate on average. We have some programs where 100% of the graduates do get employed. So there actually are jobs available, even though people say, no, there's no jobs available. Well, we've already put 21,000 people into quality jobs, and we're going to grow that to 100,000 and beyond. And that will create, R1 trillion of value. And so it's about being innovative. It's about opening our eyes and looking at the opportunities. But most of all, like you were saying, it's about working together. And I think the Josie My Josie is a beautiful example of that. And it's just something we can be so proud of as South Africans, to see how we can work together. And there are other such coalitions and groupings of organizations and civil society working together to say, forget it, we're not going to sit and wait for our country to be destroyed. No, there's absolutely no reason. We can do these things. You know, if there's no energy, we'll create our own electricity. If there's no water, we'll find another solution. If there's no whatever, if public services fall over, there are other ways that we can find and create these services. And so we're not going to sit around and cry about it. We're going to create a beautiful future for every South African. And that's absolutely in Joburg. But the second thing I did want to say to answer your question, which is I think been so much of my passion is, I was studying actuarial science at Wits. That's such a great university. I was probably the worst student in the class in actuarial science, doing a BSc actuarial science. Actually failed my third year, and I was very fortunate. I was allowed to redo it because I'd done so badly, and then I scraped through and I got my degree. And I was writing the international actuarial exams and failing them. And then I came across, it was actually because my mom got very sick. She was diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer, and she was going to die. She had 3 months left to live. And she ended up going into a whole lot of like natural health things, and also started meditation to deal with the terror of dying. And, if somebody tells you you're going to die in 3 months, your mind will kill you, never mind your body. And so through that process of seeing how my mom actually saved her own life when there was a 1% survival rate, and she's now, it's 37 years later, she's turning 87 in August this year. I actually started to learn a lot more about these types of things, and I learned to meditate, and it helped me massively. And I learned about this approach called consciousness-based education. And really what this is all about is that each of us as a human being, we have way more potential than is just going to be developed by sitting in a classroom and reading from a textbook and memorizing for an exam. A human being is actually an infinite thing, and we're way more than just an intellect. And I saw this in my own life because, as I say, I went from being the worst actuarial student to, in my honors, I was the top honors student in the whole country. I was the fastest qualifying actuary in South Africa. I passed all 10 exams, the international exams to the Institute of Actuaries, in London, within 2 years. And I mean, I was shocked. My family was shocked. Everyone was shocked. Like, how is this possible? In fact, my professor at the time said, how did an idiot become an actuary? And yeah, this for me set out a lifelong passion. For the last 34 years, my greatest passion is human potential, because I think we can be so much more as individuals, as a nation. And so part of setting up the first free university in the country was proving that if we could take, you know, unemployed people, 70% of our students that we've ever served, they don't have good enough marks. So from a country point of view, these are people who don't have the capability to go to university. And we wanted to prove that that's absolute rubbish, and that these individuals, even if they've scraped through matric, we've even taken people who didn't make it through matric, and we've been able to kind of remediate them, rehabilitate them, get them through university degrees, get them into the economy. Thousands of them earn million rand salaries plus per year. And that is human potential. That is our greatest gift, because you can look at life in terms of scarcity and say, you know, there's only a few people who can really build this economy. There's only so much resources to go around, etc. Or you can look at life as a field of infinite possibility and infinite potential. There is no limit to what any individual human being can achieve and what collectively we can achieve as a society. There's no limit to it. It's unstoppable. The sky is not the limit. And there's no limit to the jobs that could be created in this country, the economy that could be developed. It's only a question of imagination. It's imagination, it's awareness, it's creativity. But human beings are alchemists. We have infinite ingenuity. There's nothing we cannot do if we're prepared to, you know, think differently, try new things, develop our full potential. But a human brain is an unbelievable gift.
Absolutely. We're going to take a one more break before we come back to some of the issues that you've raised, which are quite incredible, particularly when you look at issues around meditation, how it fits and how you've been able to, you know, to scrape through. So as most of us have been able to scrape through to become this incredible, humble human being, which is a gift to this country. We'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. If you've just joined us, I'm with an incredible Dr. Teddy Plutcher, who's a pioneer of the free tertiary education movement in the country. He's a co-founder of SIDA. He's the founder or co-founder of Maharishi Institute. And before we took that break, he gave us a very interesting practical example of himself being in the of sciences, and how he just did not come across as this super smart individual, but he scraped through. But until he obviously learned from his ailing mother at the time, and you know, absorbing meditation, or use meditation as the platform to clear one's mind, to focus the energy on what needs to be done, led him to develop a demand-led education institution, which uses conscious education formula, so to speak. Teddy, I think this is one incredible differentiator of the Maharishi Invisibility Institute for, you know, use the conscious education. Just for a layman point of view, just unpack for us, what does this actually mean in practical sense?
No, perfect. So, Nimrod, so firstly, we know that mental health challenges are rising, both in our country and all around the world. The world is unbelievably stressful. You know, the wars in so many parts of the world, the terrorism, the violence, you know, climate change, you know, there's good reason for people to get to a point of being so low and so depressed that, you know, people almost cannot see that there's a future for the country, for the world, et cetera. And we know these mental health issues are real. They lead to very sad situations. I won't go into specifics of these things, but it's a rising epidemic and crisis in our society. And yet the mind, you know, has within itself you know, different levels of the thinking process. So we can be thinking at the surface level of the mind. The mind can be more quiet. It can be more quiet. It can be more quiet, and ultimately it can be completely silent. And so I'll talk more about that. But basically this mental health issue, for example, the World Health Organization with Columbia University, they did a global study in 8 countries of the best universities in these 8 wealthy countries like America, because Australia, Ireland, Germany, the UK, South Africa was one of them. And they looked at freshmen or students coming into first year in universities. And what they found, and it's a big global study, is that over 30% of the first-year students coming in are suffering from 1 of 6 major mental disorders. So whether it's chronic depression, ADHD, whatever it is, people are suffering. And as a result, universities are not set up for that. Universities are set up to have a professor in front of a class teaching you a topic. And you're expected to be a functional working human being. And if you're not, that's not the professor's fault. But that's why we see huge dropouts in our universities. So, I mean, that's quite a shocking statistic that 1 in 3 young people is suffering from a mental disorder. We know in South Africa with post-traumatic stress disorder, it's estimated by SADAG, which is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, that 25% of South Africans are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now there's huge amounts of research that show that when you are suffering from chronic depression or PTSD, that you find it very, very hard to study, that you find it very hard to build a good career, etc. But so the mind is our most important instrument. If the mind is not well, then everything is not well. Our relationships with ourself, with our family, with our community, with our organizations we work in, et cetera. So it's of immense importance to help young people and all people to reduce stress levels, to heal inside, and to rehabilitate their own lives. And that's what I've seen in my own life through this kind of process of consciousness-based education, as I say, becoming the top actuarial student in the country, and the things I've been able to achieve thereafter. And I completely ascribe that with being in control of one's own mind and living a life where every day you feel excitement, happiness, inner peace, fulfillment, you know, like just the positive human emotions, rather than perpetually going through like a broken record in your own mind that everything is hopeless, you hate yourself, there's no future, there's no opportunities, etc. Now, we've trained over 30,000 young people in this kind of approach, and it is a game changer. We see young people who, for example, in our institution, we've been tracking for the last 7 years, PTSD levels of students coming in are over 60%, over 30% suffering from the same levels of post-traumatic stress disorder as war veterans that have fought for the American military in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria, et cetera. How could young South Africans be as stressed out as somebody who's fought in a war? But the reality is they are. And if you don't deal with that, you are not going to get the kind of results that we get, where you get a 95% job placement rate, 90% of our graduates go into permanent and long-term employment. So we need to deal with this. It's not something we can just push under the table and act like it doesn't exist. And we've had immense success with that. And the other aspect of it is that the human brain, we've got billions of neurons in the brain, but it's not about having these neurons. Even a human vegetable that cannot lift their hand or move a leg has still got billions of neurons. The problem is the connections between these neurons. It's like having Joburg and Sandton and Pretoria, but there's no roads that connect these things. So the real job of education should be creating these pathways between all these neurons in the brain, and every neuron can have up to 10,000 connections with other neurons. So you can end up having trillions and trillions of connections in your brain. And this is something that can actually be measured in laboratories, how much we are using our brain. And so this approach to consciousness-based education, through allowing students every day to have an inner experience, we call it inside-out education, not just outside-in, because normally it's everything from the outside, you know, draw up an accounting equation, like what are the four P's of marketing, you know, how do you solve this math simultaneous equation? It's always from the outside. This is the journey on the inside. And when you, in a systematic, pragmatic, it's absolutely practical, it's not touchy-feely, it's just simple practices that we build in. We have about 30, 40 courses around this. The outcomes of education are fundamentally different. This, for me, is the final frontier in education, is how do you tap into the full potential of the brain? And then you will get completely different outcomes. It's that old thing. If you use a knife to cut down a tree or an axe that is blunt, versus if you use a sharp knife, you'll do it in a fraction of the time, way more successfully. So it's important that we actually develop the brain, both in terms of reducing stress, depression, anxiety, and also developing these neuronal pathways, increasing IQ, memory, creativity, problem-solving ability. And there are hundreds and hundreds of scientific studies around this. And I'm happy to share with any of your listeners summary reports we've done on these scientific studies. But it is a game changer in education.
Absolutely incredible, Teddy. Absolutely incredible that the you know, Maharishi Invisibility Institute is using a complete different philosophy to try and change the life. I mean, it's we all underestimate the existence of a stress amongst youth, amongst pretty much everyone else. So, I mean, you have been able to train 30,000 students who ordinarily would have been hopeless and helpless, because first and foremost, they needed to deal with the mental makeup, which is that of destitution, which is that of post-traumatic stress. I mean, interestingly, when you said, you know, some of the students and youth are locked in by, you know, a post, they have similar stress level as those that veterans who came back from war. We have seen in movies how post-traumatic stress and can lead to a whole lot of traumatic incidences that changes people's life for the worse. This is really interesting to hear how your education system is built to instigate change from inside out. You know, we have to build with it. You have to deal with the mind. You have to build or deal with those neurons that could be used to connect and different pathways that would make a brain function a lot better, you know, and lot sharper by, you know, understanding or by healing, you know, first and foremost, and creating this euphoria of excitement, or excitement to be more precise, and how to deal with your day-to-day challenges. I find it incredibly exciting, and which is certainly a game changer, particularly, you know, because it's factual. We all know that, I mean, based on the evidence that you've presented to us, you alluded to the fact that there were about 8 countries in a predominantly developed institution, and they've looked at, you know, 30% of different mental disorders, which every student had across those particular universities. That's 1 in 3 students suffer from mental disorders. That's incredible.
Yeah, and Nimrod, we've got published research now in a British journal called Psychology Abstracts on our students versus students at a huge public institution in South Africa that's very, very near us. And also they had students coming in to study things like business or psychology, suffering from PTSD, depression. You can measure these things. So, for example, the PTSD index that's used is something called the PCLC test. Then there's something for depression called the Beck Depression Inventory. But what's fascinating is within 60 days, every single student at the Maurice Invincibility Institute on these objective globally recognized tests is off the PTSD scale, is no longer suffering from chronic depression, whereas at the control institution, there is no change after a year. In fact, by second and third year, the students are even slightly more depressed. So what we are doing works, and it's, you know, scientifically proven and using, you know, valid measurement that is globally recognized. It is possible for a human being that's living in hell inside their own mind to heal. That is the good news. And it's so sad to see in our community the number of suicides at the moment, you know, people feeling desperate about the war, employment situation, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the number of suicides, for example, in the community just since January is it's mind-blowing, you know. But the good news is if somebody is prepared to take this journey to heal inside themselves, to, you know, become whole, to create that well-being, you know, et cetera, what a beautiful possibility to live a life where you don't have to live every day plagued by, you know, not being able to get up in the morning, having nothing to live for, et cetera. By bringing this to thousands of unemployed youth, to people that are thrown away in South Africa society, I mean, some of our students have killed people when they come in. Many of them have been abused. Many of them have had terrible, terrible, harsh situations in their lives, and yet they're able to heal, become whole people, become contributing members of society, and become valuable members of society. I mean, really, like in extraordinary jobs, adding massive value, earning a lot of money, and living wonderful, contributing lives rather than being just excluded from society. And I think that's part of what we're trying to prove, is that you can live a different future and a different reality in South Africa. And so, yes, we can listen to the news. Like you were saying, we can focus on the negativity. But what a, you know, dark, as Martin Luther King said, and I know you have to finish, but darkness will never drive out darkness. You can spend your whole life watching the wars on TV and feeling absolutely miserable, or you can take a different approach, which is to bring light in your own life and your family's life, and to start to bring change. Even if you bring change for one person, that is a wonderful place to start. I mean, we should never judge whether, you know, it doesn't matter why you do good, and it doesn't matter how much good you do. If you just start doing one good thing here, one good thing here, one good thing here, everything will start to change in that direction. And when we collectively work together, we want to bring this country to the future it deserves. And I believe we will. I think we have, you know, a small number of people with vested interests who are greedy, who are everything you said at the start of the show. But let's not base the lives of 62 million people on those few people. 62 million people are much more powerful than a few thousand people bent on greed and personal wealth and at the expense of everybody else.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. Once again, we're quite grateful to have had a person of your stature gracing this wonderful show. Thank you for your time, Teddy.
Deeply appreciate your time, Nimrod, and all the light you're bringing into South Africa through your show and the work that you do. And let's just keep going and expand and escalate our efforts.
We're going to have to leave it there. It has been absolutely beautiful time that you've had with Teddy. Have yourself a blessed day further. Shalom.